And like I said, you could be in the midst of a crowd, and it doesn't make any difference that you are with people, but you are so disconnected, you are so aloof, you are so out there that you feel this pain inside, that you are lonely and isolated and just out there. And before I go on, let me say that there's a big difference from being alone and being lonely. You know, sometimes it's good to get alone. Sometimes it's good to be by yourself. There's nothing wrong with being by yourself. But what are some of the difference? Being alone is positive. Loneliness is negative. Being alone can be desirable. Being lonely can be undesirable. Being alone can be a time of growth. Loneliness is a time of suffering. Being alone is something that you can choose to do. Loneliness is something that is forced upon you. Being alone can be refreshing. Being lonely can be miserable.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the start of a new series titled, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues, with the first half of Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Is Loneliness Your Best Friend?
And I want to ask the question. Is loneliness your best friend? Is loneliness your best friend? Now, before some of you tune me out and say, well, that's not my issue, I'm going to tell you today that you really need to hear this message. If you took that attitude, you really need to hear this message today. And the reason that I'm going to say that is because this is something that is widespread in our society today. As a matter of fact, if you'll put up that next slide, we will see that in a recent Gallup poll that the 36% of Americans are lonely. So that means that more than one out of every three individuals are dealing with loneliness. Now, it can be family members, it can be coworkers, and maybe even today, there's a person here that's dealing with loneliness. And really, the chances and the odds are that in a congregation of this size, all you need to do, and I'm not asking you to do this physically now, but take a look to the front, take a look to the left, take a look to the right, and take a look behind you, and I guarantee you that somebody in the look that you just now took is dealing with loneliness, is dealing with loneliness. The next slide. Mother Teresa said this, that loneliness is the world's biggest problem. More people die, this thing is serious, more people die from loneliness than from cancer, heart disease, and all the plagues that kill people in the world. When we think about loneliness, Gary Collins in his book, The Christian Counselor, says this, loneliness is the world's most common mental health problem. Loneliness is one of the most universal sources of human suffering. And loneliness is a permanent condition for millions of people. Loneliness. Now, in case you haven't got the importance of it yet, let me remind you what a few people have said. One person said this, ever since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. All the way at the end of Lonely Street, the Heartbreak Hotel. Let me remind you what another theologian said, do me wrong and do me right. Tell me lies, but hold me tight. Save your goodbyes till the morning light. But don't let me be lonely tonight. Somebody else said, one is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. And perhaps the song that puts it in perspective more than any other is a song by the Beatles, and the title of the song is Eleanor Rigby. And it asks the question, oh, look at all the lonely people. Oh, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Loneliness is something that people face every day. Even in the song that the Beatles wrote, there's a song, there's a lady in there. Her name is Eleanor Rigby. And she cleans up this church for years. And then she dies. And the pastor of the church. Now, she's been in the church for years. And the pastor, who is dealing with loneliness himself, he does her funeral. And it says this. It says, Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. That when she was buried and her name went, that was it. Why? Because she established no relationships beyond that. She was lonely. It said Father McKenzie, that he worked on a sermon. He stayed up all night working on a sermon. And I hope this is not the case this morning, that nobody would hear. He preaches this sermon, and he walks from the grave. Nobody came. Nobody was saved. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? Max Lucado says that he was walking through a cemetery in Texas, and he came across a tombstone of a lady by the name of Grace Llewellyn Smith. And on the tombstone, it had the name of her two husbands. And it says this, sleeps but rest not, loved but was loved not, tried to please but pleased not, died as she lived alone. Died as she lived alone. This is something that is facing our society today, and it's something that's having a devastating effect upon the lives of many individuals. What is loneliness as we begin to examine this subject? What is loneliness? If you'll turn to Psalm 102, verses 6 and 7, we see that David dealt with loneliness in his life. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man that sought God with all of his being, but yet and still he found that he came to a place of loneliness in his life. David says in verse 6 of Psalm 102, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. I am like an owl in the desert. I watch and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. He gives three examples to paint the picture of his loneliness. He says that he was like a pelican, all by himself in the wilderness. No other person around, nobody to talk to, nobody to understand what he was dealing with. He said he was like an owl in the desert. And owls love to be in haunted places, and they love to lurk alone and be alone. David said that in my loneliness that I feel like an owl in the desert. And then he said this loneliness has so gripped me, and this loneliness has pricked my spirit that I feel like a sparrow alone on the top of a house. And many commentators believe that he's making a reference to a sparrow that just lost a mate or even one of his children, and that sparrow sits up on the top of the house alone, grieving because of his loss. So David was a person that experienced loneliness. What is loneliness? We see that, first of all, loneliness is a state of mind. It's a state of mind that a person is in where they feel like they are empty and that they are all alone and that there's nobody around. Now, you know, the thing about this whole issue of loneliness, There may be people all around you. You may be a student in college. You may be a soldier in the military. You may be a person who is sitting here today in church, and there's people all around you, but you are experiencing the feeling of loneliness. And perhaps that fourth bullet point might be the most significant for many who are here today. It's a painful awareness that you lack meaningful contact with somebody else, and that you're just alone in this life. It's a feeling of incompleteness. And like I said, you could be in the midst of a crowd, and it doesn't make any difference that you are with people, but you are so disconnected, you are so aloof, you are so out there that you feel this pain inside, that you are lonely and isolated and just out there. And before I go on, let me say that there's a big difference from being alone and being lonely. You know, sometimes it's good to get alone. Sometimes it's good to be by yourself. There's nothing wrong with being by yourself. But what are some of the difference? Being alone is positive. Loneliness is negative. Being alone can be desirable. Being lonely can be undesirable. Being alone can be a time of growth. Loneliness is a time of suffering. Being alone is something that you can choose to do. Loneliness is something that is forced upon you. Being alone can be refreshing. Being lonely can be miserable. And so there's a lot of, I'll call them Eleanor Rigby's, that you just go through life and you're out there disconnected and alone, and you have not a friend in the world. Who are some people that are high risk for loneliness? There's a certain group of people. I'm not saying that they are lonely, but they are certainly at high risk for loneliness. If you'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, 1 Kings chapter 18. First Kings chapter 18 and verse 22. And Elijah was a prophet of God, and he shared God's message with many people. And he started getting frustrated because it seemed like he was the only one that was proclaiming the message. And it seemed like the people were divided between whether to follow God or whether to follow Baal. And then Elijah says in verse 22, unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. That Elijah was in this, I am the only one syndrome. I'm out here all by myself. I'm taking a stand and I feel lonely. I feel empty. There's a pain in my spirit because I'm the only one that's out here. And then a chapter or two later, God reminds him, well, no, Elijah, you're not the only one. But that's where Elijah was in his life. He felt that he had stood up for God. He felt that he was representing God. And now that he was out there representing God and he got no support at all, he felt this loneliness. And he felt like no one was with him. Who are some individuals that are high risk for loneliness? Well, the rejected person. And we see this all the time. When you think about, and just to show you how real this is, right? Just think about some of these mass school shootings. Just think about that for a minute. And most of the time it happens, why did those guys do it? Because they were rejected. Why does somebody go in to a business and shoot people? Why does somebody go into the courtroom and shoot people? Why does somebody go into a supermarket and shoot people? You know why? Because somewhere along the line, they were rejected. And they couldn't handle the rejection. And so rejection makes a person high risk for loneliness. I said earlier that there's nothing wrong with being alone. that we need to be alone. We need to get those times alone. But people who isolate themselves, who cut themselves off from others, they become a high-risk individual for loneliness because they are out there left to them thoughts, you know, no one to share their heartaches and their burdens with, no one to be able to communicate with. And so they've isolated themselves, they've cut themselves off, and they put themselves in a position where loneliness can come right on them. Single people. Again, I'm not saying because a person is single that they're lonely. That's not my point. But I see so many single people that say that they're lonely and they got to have somebody. You ought to talk to some of the married people who are married and say, I wish I didn't have anybody. So, you know, and one of the things that I think that singles have to do is that they have to begin to, I mean, those that are struggling, that they have to begin to understand the difference between being alone and being lonely. And that just because you're alone, you know, you need to work on the things that God would speak to your heart about. See, because if you are single and you're lonely and you think that a mate is going to take care of that loneliness, then I got another word for you. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because all you're going to be doing is bringing your lonely mess into a relationship. And so you need to deal with your loneliness first and get that dealt with. And if I was single and I was lonely and I was dealing with loneliness, I wouldn't even look for a mate. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't even look for a mate until I dealt with my loneliness. Until I got the victory over my loneliness, you know, I wouldn't even be concerned. I say, look, I'm working on me right now. I'm dealing with my issues right now. So the single person, the lonely husband, and the lonely wife. I read this. I said, now I didn't, you know, we got something for everything these days. It's called LTL. And what it's called is living together loneliness. And it says that one psychologist describes this phenomenon. And the amazing thing is that it's estimated that 10 to 20 million people, and it says primarily women, suffer from LTL, living together loneliness. That means that you are married, you have a mate, but in the midst of that relationship, you're lonely. That something is going on, some dynamic, some issue is there, some need is not being met, whatever the case might be, but here you are, again, single person, looking for somebody. Here's a person in a relationship, and they're dealing with loneliness. I got a book back in my office, and the title of the book is about that thick. And the title of the book is called Lonely Husbands and Lonely Wives. And it's a whole book that just talks about how that husbands and wives can be lonely, even in the midst of a relationship, in the midst of a marriage. So you may be here today, you may be married, and you may be suffering from LTL, living together loneliness. There's the bereaved individual. This is the person who has just lost a loved one, has just lost a significant other, somebody that has been with them all their life, and now they lost their loved one. And you know, that's why I'm going to say this, and Sandra, you can pay me after service today, but I praise God that we have a grief ministry here. Thank God for the grief ministry of Bethany Baptist Church. That if people that have lost love, go ahead, amen, amen. That people that have lost loved ones and find themselves where that they can slip into that loneliness and slip into that isolation. That here's a group that reaches out and that ministers to people who are dealing with that. And I've heard so many people that have come up to me and said how much of a blessing that ministry has been in their life. And on the same token, even with bereaved individuals, and sometimes people that are going through a divorce can be lonely. Or even once a person that has been divorced, that they begin to experience this loneliness, this being cut off from a significant person in your life. Elderly people are high risk for loneliness. You know, why is that? And I was trying to figure out why that was, and then yeah, the more research I did, the more I found out is that, think what it must be like to be an elderly person. And you know, you grew up in the days with pencil and paper, right? You grew up in the days when, you know, things were a little bit slower. And now here's all this technology. And you know, it's almost to the point that you can't do anything unless you are involved and have some knowledge of technology. And how many of the older people have just never made that connection? And so now here's a whole world that they are isolated from. And it's very easy for them to become lonely. And that's why I pray to God that we as a congregation would be sensitive, especially to some of the seniors that may, and you know, there may be for them a lot of pride, and they don't want to necessarily admit the fact that they're struggling with this, but there are people that are in our congregation that may be struggling with this. And so as the saints of God, we need to be sensitive and prayerful and see how we can work with to keep them connected and keep them engaged. You know, I've had several people, they've gone on to be with the Lord, but I've had several people that have come to me as the pastor and made this comment. Pastor, I wonder if I've outlived my usefulness on this earth. And basically what they were saying that was in the context of, you know, there's just so many things that have changed, and I can't keep up with the change. And so it's easy for them to become isolated and start to feel lonely. And then we see people who either stand out, if a person excels in a certain thing, you know, even in school. You know, I know that there was a time when if kids made good grades, they were called what? Nerds. So now, you know, you get a group of kids that don't want to make good grades, and they kind of band together, and the nerd or the nerds are off there by themselves. And because they excel or they stand out, you know, they've been isolated, and it's very easy for them to feel lonely and not a part of things. And then we see people like Elijah that stood up, people that stand up for God. And sometimes when you take a stand, you might be out there by yourself. You might be out there on that island all by yourself, and you might say like Elijah, I only remain. So you can either stand out or stand up, and that can lead to loneliness. Well, what are some causes of loneliness? What are some causes of loneliness? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, who, when he wrote his second letter to Timothy, was on death row, and he writes to him, and here's some of the things that Paul shares with Timothy. He says in verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. So Paul said, one guy forsook me, and two of my other partners, they left to go to Galatia and Dalmatia. He says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. He says, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable unto me. So here Paul, the great man of God, is alone, and he's feeling the brunt of loneliness. So, you know, we can't say that, you know, we are this great spiritual person.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Is Loneliness Your Best Friend? Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.